happy Northeast New Year.
You're listening to the Northeast Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How's it going, guys?
Very freaking cold.
It's so cold.
It's freezing, but it is...
It's nice and cozy in here, though.
Our final episode of the year. And this is maybe my favorite episode of the year.
We did one in 2016.
Yeah, it was
And it was awesome.
It was brilliant.
I feel like I was ahead of the... I was ahead of the game with my 2016 Who Won the Year. I picked Steve from Stranger Things. And I was just maybe 1 year early.
Okay. Everyone. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve got a lot of late love from season two of Stranger Things when we were on that train from like halfway through the first episode.
I had the Farrah Fawcett spray in 2016.
We liked Steve when he was still an asshole, before he had totally redeemed himself with the bat foot.
That's true. That's true.
We were like, he's cool. I don't give a shit if he's kind of mean.
Yeah.
And then Steve took Steve to another level.
Steve.
In season two.
Steved himself all over the place.
Okay.
Wow. All
right. Steve is a verb. You don't get to know what it means, though.
So we're going to Steve all over the place over here. In the meantime, we need you guys to give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Northeast Podcast. I'm sorry. I don't care what holiday you celebrate. If you can't do us the favor of just giving us a follow on one of those social media platforms, you don't care about us.
That's fine. There's probably a lot of people that are listening right now that are just like, actually, I think I fall in that category.
So yeah, give us a follow on there. Also subscribe on iTunes and Podbean. Make sure you get the Northeast Podcast right to your phone every single week. We have a fun beer in front of us, guys. What are we drinking?
Well, I'll tell you the name. You're going to tell us about it.
Yeah, how about that?
It's so funny. So many of our listeners have said they hate when I talk about beer, and you guys just jam it down their throats.
Yeah. So tell us all about it. This is what? Try Berry Sour, man. Bringing it to Dangerous Man for
I have to say,
tasty trip down lactose lane.
Yeah, I just took my first sip of the Try Berry Sour, and I have to say it tastes a lot like the Raspberry Roselle from Fair State.
Yeah.
It really does. It tastes a lot like that to me. I guess instead of just having one berry, there's three berries. But no, it's delicious. Yeah, it's a sour. It's really good.
It's like a milkshake sour, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it's got I mean, honestly, when we were setting up, Laura comes down and is like, are you guys just drinking Bloody Marys with no ice or accoutrement? I was like, no, man, that would be horrible, horrible, horrible. But it does look like that. It's very deep red and opaque.
This is also the third consecutive week in a row on the podcast where we've had a beer featured and we've talked about Fair State. One of those weeks we did have Fair State on, but now the two weeks ago we had Fair State. Now we're comparing it, but I would agree that this is similar to Roselle, but a little bit thicker and good. This is also canned on Christmas Eve.
Well, so that's kind of nice.
Shout out to the folks at Dangerous Man working on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, they sell beer over the holidays.
They had so many of these, so they were really, really working hard to get these out.
Well, thanks for picking them up.
No problem. All right, guys. So while we're enjoying this beer that you probably should run out and get yourself a little crowler of, I think it was like $7 for a crowler. Go give it a try. Everyone loves Dangerous Man. But while we're enjoying that, we're going to talk about the very best things that we talked about on this show in 2017. We're going to wrap it all up. We're going to tell you if you missed one of these things, that the things you most definitely need to go back, watch, listen to, and check out.
It's like an award show.
Yeah.
Except for the stakes couldn't be lower.
There are no stakes because we don't know each other's picks.
Right. We don't know each other's picks. We can't probably come up with consensus picks, but you'll get a taste of all our different, you know.
So we've come up to the official rules are going to be if multiple people choose it, it is the winner for the Northeast Podcast.
Just more than one.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. More than one. And if there is no consensus, then whatever I picked wins.
Wow. No.
All right, so let's get started with the Northeast Podcast 2017 Best Brewery.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
And we can do local breweries, I think. I mean, that'll be much more fun,
right? I only thought of local breweries. Yeah, that's all I considered. I didn't even consider one because all the best beer is made in Minnesota.
It seems like it. Stuff I enjoy.
That's a reach, but yeah. All the best beer that we drink on a consistent basis is made in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we don't get to try 15 different beers from Toppling Goliath. Maybe if we did, that would be our favorite, but I like the stuff that I can go and get many, many options from.
Yeah.
So let's go.
Who wants to start?
Who wants to go?
I'll go first.
Yeah.
This one might be a little bit out there. I think the easy pick is Dangerous Man. They're always doing crazy stuff. They're always doing, and everything they make is pretty good.
And like they did win kind of a big deal award this year, right? For 2017.
It's kind of a big deal for them.
Right.
So
kind of.
I'm going Modest. I didn't start out liking some of their mainstays that they had initially put out. I thought that Fresh was kind of cool and new, and the coffee lager was good. But then Dreamyard came along, and then False Pattern came along, and they made, I mean, both of those beers are in the top tier for me. So I'm going with Modest. Might be off the cuff. Maybe the lesser known of some of the local breweries, but I really like them.
So I'll go ahead and give you my pick. Also Modest.
Yes!
I thought about this like a week ago. So this is... Yeah, and I'm picking it based on who had the best year, right? So, yeah, maybe if I was going to pick just straight up right now, currently best brewery, it might still be Dangerous Man. You know, I'd throw Fair State in the mix. But who had the best year? Modest, I think, absolutely. Went from, hey, kind of the new guys on the block to, like, wow, they make really consistently great stuff. Their tap room is awesome. I think they had a very good year. The Dilly Dilly thing, you know, got them some national attention.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
I think they just had an awesome year. I love both False Pattern and Dreamyard. Great beers. That's my pick as well. And so this is already one. So Eric, what are you going with?
Wow.
We have not talked about these ahead of time.
We haven't talked about these ahead of time. My choice is not necessarily the best brewery in the state. I still would give the best brewery in the state to Dangerous Man and Fair State. I think are probably the two best. I think we always kind of discount Surly because of how big they are. But if you go too Surly, they have some of the best beers you can find.
Yeah. That's also a knock against them, or maybe it isn't, but that they're not, like, a lot of the unique beers that they make, you can't get in growlers and take home with you, and they don't can.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a tough sell to say, like, well, they have the two times a year or three times a year that I go there, I try stuff that's really good, but, you know, maybe it's not that.
It's not in the liquor store down the street for me. You know, that stuff.
So I'm not saying that my choice is the best brewery in the state, but I think they took the biggest strides in 2017 to becoming one of the premier places brewing beer in Minnesota, and that place is Modest.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
All three of us, without talking about it, chose Modest.
This is going to be the only category we unanimously agree on, I promise that.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. And it's funny because the first time I went to Modest, I was not impressed at all.
Same thing. I had a sampler or a flight, and I was like, they're all okay.
But it's okay to improve your beer, absolutely.
Yeah.
Even something you're like, well, this is one of our flagships, you better not touch it. Fuck no. Definitely mess with it. Every single batch, make it better, and they have.
Yep, they just put out Ritual Night, which I thought was pretty good as well. And we're going to try this move.
JB Smoove?
Yeah, in our later podcast.
Barter, can you get an impression?
I was trying to think about a conversation that he would have with Larry David about beer, but I don't know if I could.
You work on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want you winging this. It could just derail everything.
Yeah, I'll workshop it and bring it back.
So there you go.
That's my resolution for you for 2018. Let's bring some fucking funky impressions.
So all three of us chose Modest as our winner.
Can I give an honorable mention to Junkyard?
Yeah.
Who had an incredible year. They sell out as soon as they get into all the liquor stores around here. As soon as they can consistently can and bottle or whatever they're going to do, they're going to sell a lot of beer. And all their beer, everything I've tried has been really good.
The
branding's awesome. Their clothes are great. Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted.
In Moorhead. That's the problem.
And they don't know what podcasts are. Apparently.
They don't know what a podcast
is.
They've never heard of any
breweries.
And they could
have cared less that I was trying to have their beer on a podcast. People are like, what's a podcast? We're from Moorhead.
What's a cell phone?
Yeah.
Another, I would say, honorable mention for me, and the only reason that they didn't really climb the ladder, but looking out for big things in 2018, would be Lupulin. And Hui was great. I forget what the other one was that we had as well. But they only had those couple, you know, and they're
so look out for them, right?
Very difficult to find. So maybe if they up production, come up with, you know, take Hui to another level, double Hui, you know, maybe do some really new cool stuff we've never even heard about.
Right.
So excited to see what a lot of these places can bring in 2018, but Lupulin being one of them.
Yep.
All right, so there it is. Modest, the champs.
That's impressive.
It's pretty impressive.
Nobody's going to believe that we didn't talk about this
before. I know, we definitely did not, though.
All right, guys, let's move on to Nordy's Podcast 2017 Album of the Year.
You want me to just get mine out of the way since it's not going to
match? We'll make fun of you and move on. Go for it.
Yep. Okay. So band is Caligula's Horse. They're
fucking kidding me.
Yeah. An Australian rock band, and their album was In Contact.
Okay.
One of those albums that I'll throw on at work via YouTube stream or Spotify. And before I know it, the album's almost done and I'm ready to hit replay on it again. It's just very good.
Is this Australian prog rock?
Yeah.
Okay, that's your shit.
Yeah, man.
I love that you're sticking with that.
It's
like
Men
at Work and then Caligula's Horse.
Men at Work and Caligula's Horse are my two favorite bands of all time.
Well done.
Yeah, so nobody's ever heard of them, but if you enjoy really good alternative rock music,
yeah,
go check them out.
They might get their like seventh download because of this, dude. That'd be a big deal for them.
They got some YouTube videos that are like over 100K views.
Okay.
So
they're around.
Yeah, they're around. I mean,
just not in my world.
Not in anyone's world.
All right.
Outside of mine.
Eric, do you want to go next? Okay.
I'm going to go with what seems to be the consensus choice of the year.
Cher.
Kendrick Lamar. Oh. Damn.
Okay.
I feel like everyone has kind of gone that way. It was by far his finest album, and he just seems to be getting better and better. I believe that even though the Grammy committee is a bunch of like 87-year-old white guys, that they are going to make the right choice and they will give the album of the year to Kendrick Lamar.
That's also my pick, Eric. So that is my pick. I was between that and 444. I've listened to Kendrick more, and this is his best album. And if he's the best rapper alive, which I believe he is, then this should be album of the year, hands down. And if you don't like rap, just listen to Love on that album. It's like a slow jam. Dude, slow jams have gotten so good now. Slow jams used to be the worst. Do you remember when like a rap album would be awesome, except for they'd have a slow jam, and it would be like a horrible like female R&B artist like Ashanti, and it would be the worst song in the album, hands down, every time. Now they're like, Drake like reinvented the slow jam game, and they're good.
Yeah. No,
I love.
I think the whole album though is great. And then the funny thing is that everybody knows Humble, and it will probably be up for Song of the Year. It will probably win Hip Hop Song of the Year, and it is like one of the worst songs on the album, in my opinion.
I agree. It's not that great.
It's not
when you listen
to
the whole thing through, you're kind of like, I can skip
that. If you
that
listen
one.
To the album, it's like maybe the worst, cheesiest song on the whole thing. And that's the big, huge single from it. So, I mean, it's really good. I think it has something for everyone. I love that it's, you know, he has so many different styles of music that he does himself, different flows of rapping, different voices he uses for singing and even crooning.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a beautiful
album.
And it's
finally not packed with, like, horrible poetry.
Yes.
Like, dude, the skits kill me. I thought that the skits were done after, like, you know, early 2000s. And now they started to bring them back, and this is like a very stripped down album with just great songs. So I'm into it. I think that's damn. So now we've got two categories consensus. I didn't think this would be happening.
So I'm going to give you my picks, like my honorable mentions.
Okay.
The other ones I really liked were War on Drugs, Deeper Understanding. They're one of the best bands in the world. I feel like they're the band that every person who likes like indie rock is looking for but hasn't listened to yet.
Okay.
So they kind of have like this like I always compare them to like an updated version of Dire Straits, and maybe that will turn people off.
Do they do sing talking?
No.
Oh, good.
No, not at all.
Listen to it.
But yeah, it's really good. I liked LCD Sound System's American Dream as well. Those would probably be my honorable mentions for the year.
What about Swifties? Swifties Unite?
No.
Another piece of shit from her? Yeah. No, that was good. And I had mentioned my honorable mention of Jay-Z's 444. Great album, but
so
not as good as Kendrick.
Kendrick and Horse, what? Bojack Horseman.
Caligula's Horse.
This Bojack Horseman soundtrack. Yeah, obviously.
I feel like those are probably the two favorites for Grammy Album of the Year as well.
They're up there. What? The Grammy committee get their heads out of their asses.
Yeah. All right, guys.
I wasn't making any of those arguments.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have two consensus picks now. Modest is our Brewery of the Year. Kendrick Damn, Album of the Year. Can it? We go for three in a row when we move on to Nordy's Podcast 2017 Movie of the Year.
I like that you're saving TV because it is more fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a big one. All right, movie.
This one we definitely...
We're all going to disagree, I think.
I don't think we'll all agree on this.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, maybe you should go first. I have a few in my head that I'm still waffling on. So if you know yours, go for it.
All right. But while I'm talking, you better come up with something real solid. Switching last minute.
No, I know which ones I have.
All right. Mine is going to be a bit of a sleeper. It's Logan. Is that what you were going to pick, son of a bitch? No way. So I picked Logan because I thought it was very different. I thought it was sort of something that could start a trend. Plus, it was Fox's last hurrah with
Hugh Jackman
actually owning. Well, Hugh Jackman for sure.
Yeah.
But even any Marvel characters.
Oh, just yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They sold them, so they're done. But yeah. It was such a good movie. It was R-rated. It was for an adult audience. Finally, they can say fuck when they normally would, which is like makes all other movies unrealistic that are PG-13.
It was gory as hell.
It was gory as hell.
It was hard to watch, but it was like the violence was necessary to the story they were telling.
For sure. And Hugh Jackman, you know, he won't be nominated for anything because that's just not the type of movie, but he was really, really, really good. And yeah, man, I think that was the most standout movie of the year. And I had hoped it would have been Blade Runner for me, but I just, looking back, I just don't think it made a big of impact on me as Logan.
Also, Logan did the one thing in a movie right that 99.9% of movies don't do, which is that when a car runs into a chain link fence, the chain link fence doesn't just split in half.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
It was like a slingshot and like threw the car back. It was perfect.
Yeah, that was good.
What about Patrick Stewart in that movie? Because I think he was actually the finest performance of anyone. I think he was incredible. And I think if people really gave it a chance, he should be up for supporting actor for his role as a deteriorating Professor X.
I agree. I mean, it was such a ballsy movie. Like, I'm sure can we talk about the ending at this point? All right, just tune out for 10 seconds. But they killed Professor X and Wolverine in a movie.
And all the X-Men were already dead.
And all the X-Men. I mean, it was like kind of maybe planting seeds of hope for a new generation of them, but they're not going to follow up on this. There's no sequel here. It's just sort of a super ballsy, badass movie that worked out fantastic. James Mangold directed the shit out of it. Really, really good writing, and it worked.
I was like
very
emotional.
Special movie.
I was like emotional at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And like how they had the grave set with the X.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it was like, it was such a good movie. It had everything. It was like heartwarming. It was funny. It was scary. There was action.
There was no shifting of the rocks at the end, which I was like, please don't shift the rocks. Yeah. Please don't shift the rocks. And they just stayed put because he was for sure dead.
And like his story with the girl was great. And like the craziest thing is like I think we said this on the show, that when it comes to superhero movies, they try to go so huge every single time. But this was like such a small scale thing. He was fighting like a villain who, like, most people on Earth wouldn't have even known existed.
Yep.
And he wasn't trying to save the universe. He was, like, having a struggle with himself more than anything else. And that's why it was such a good movie. So
he was an alcoholic Uber driver, for lack of a better word. Yeah, I mean, it's basically what he'd become. It was very unbecoming of, like, the superheroes that you imagine in your head and that they portray on screen most of the time. Like, Professor X kind of died a very ungratifying death.
Yeah.
And same kind of with Wolverine. Like, he was just trying to save some kids.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't anything like heroic where he defeated Magneto when he was throwing this Pittsburgh Steelers stadium at
him. He was about to pull the metal core out of the middle of the earth and kill everyone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
No,
yeah.
Dude, it was just a human story, small scale. I loved it. Loved it. Go watch it. I think it's on HBO Go. So if you haven't seen it, well, no, don't bother now. But
it's the best superhero
movie. It is on
movie.
HBO now. You can go watch it.
It's the best superhero movie, I think, ever.
Nah, it's up. I mean, I don't think so. I think you'd maybe pick a more traditional superhero movie.
Like what?
I don't know. The original, maybe like the original Batman.
Like,
is super duper good.
Like the Dark
Knight.
Maybe
Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Dark Knight is the only one I would accept.
I don't know. Civil War was really good too. I watched it the other day. It's just awesome. I mean, it, as just like a big blockbuster style.
Civil
right?
War was like fun, but they like the main thing is they fight each other.
Yeah,
it's like two siblings fighting.
Right, and so the stakes like weren't that crazy high because obviously,
and you're just kind of like, guys, like literally, this is really irresponsible.
They wouldn't even kill War Machine, dude. That's just what pissed me off.
Yeah.
So, outside of that debate,
yeah,
I really wanted to go Blade Runner, and that's why okay. I paused for a second because okay. I was trying to think back and remember. But I really think after talking about it, and this is some confirmation bias, right? But Wolverine and, or excuse me, Logan and Blade Runner were my top two.
Okay.
And
I'm surprised Star Wars isn't for
I
you,
love but... Star Wars, but not compared to those two.
Yeah.
I think
plus
it has
we're going to get a Star Wars every year. These two are special movies.
I think it has to be Wolverine. Or yeah. God, Jesus. Okay. Let's try this again. I think it has to be yeah. Logan. It was so good. Top to bottom, front to back. But you guys, everything that you guys said was perfect. It encompassed all of the things that you want to see in a superhero, which is vulnerability, human fallacies within, mm-hmm. you know, their own persona. And Wolverines were exacerbated by years of just not being able to do anything, you know, yeah. just sort of like trying to hide in plain sight, you know, couldn't really be the superhero anymore. You know, Professor X is living in some hollowed out desert dome with the albino dude taking care of him, who was really good, by the way.
Calypso or something like that?
Yeah, Steven...
Caligula's horse?
Perhaps? Steven... what's his name?
Steven... He's super tall and hilarious. He's British.
Yeah.
Come on, Barter.
Steven Wright?
Yeah, no, Steven yeah, Wright? Sure. Sounds right to me.
Yeah, and the little girl was phenomenal
mm-hmm.
without saying a whole lot.
Right,
you know?
Didn't need to.
And then just the action was dialed up enough to make you... Like Eric said, a little kind of sick to your stomach, but it was also perfect and needed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I'm going Logan.
Yep. And what did you pick, Eric? You haven't picked yet, have you?
I haven't picked yet.
Okay.
It came down to two movies, and Logan will be our winner because Logan was my runner-up
okay.
for movie of the year.
So, and you could pick anything you want, and it would still be the winner because two of us have
yes,
decided.
But I'm just saying it pretty much is a consensus. It was right there for me in my top two. I kind of had been going back and forth. Probably am just taking an opportunity to talk about another great movie.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Dunkirk?
Dunkirk okay. is my choice.
All right.
Best movie.
Unfortunately, I didn't see it.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah,
I don't have much to say.
I wish I could.
I will, obviously.
I think Dunkirk was a masterpiece in... what's the word? Directing?
Cinema?
Cinema? Yeah.
Sure, direction, yeah.
I mean,
cinematography,
it,
everything.
It was actually just incredible. There aren't very many... words even in the movie. I mean, it's just like your senses are, you know, being worked out as you watch this movie. They made a war movie without, you know, gore and blood and guts. There's like no blood in the whole movie. You don't even see the villain or the Nazis in this. And the best thing is I love history, obviously, and it is a true story in history. So it can't really be ruined for you because if you have paid attention in school, you know that the Nazis
was
don't
there
win.
Any Americans involved in this skirmish?
No.
Then we didn't learn about it. It's a British war movie, which you don't see too often.
Yeah, but I mean, we know that the Nazis didn't win World War II. So you know what happens. You know yeah. that they don't wipe out their entire military, but just how close they were to really winning the war is pretty incredible. The movie was just so exciting. The sound was the best part of the whole thing. That's why I wish you guys would have had an opportunity to see it in the theater because the planes would fly over your head and it was just like your heart would be beating out of your chest just having the planes fly over in a movie theater. So yeah. It was incredible. It had Tom Hardy. It had Harry Styles. Who else was even in it? Do you guys know?
Cillian Murphy, like usual.
Yeah. There just wasn't there weren't a ton of stars or anything.
Yeah.
It was just a wonderful movie. So I will give it to Dunkirk. My assumption is that Dunkirk will win Best Picture this year.
I don't know, man.
We'll talk about that at a later time. But
well, we do Oscar stuff, so we'll get into that at some point. But
I'm definitely fine with Logan, which would have been my second choice. And we'll kind of be our Northeast podcast movie of the year, Logan.
Damn. We podcast together, I think.
Yeah, we're kind of on the same page on things. Remember when Jim was like, oh, you guys are going to hate all my picks.
I thought I was like picking sleeper shit here, but you guys will absolutely not agree with my TV show, at least. At least I got that one to set myself apart.
Can I guess yours?
Let's get to it. How about that?
Yeah. All right. So
are we there?
We're there.
Oh, shit.
We're doing Nordy's Podcast 2017 TV Show of the Year. Can I guess yours?
Yeah.
Will you go first if I guess it?
Sure.
My guess is your choice is Rick and Morty.
Nope. Oh. Nope.
That's a really good guess.
It was a really good guess. In fact, it's my first honorable mention on my list.
Okay.
Do you want me to want me to go first?
Go first.
Master of None season 2. Hmm. Absolutely perfect.
Really good show.
Season of television. I loved it. I wanted to watch it. I was just bummed when it was over, especially because it's one of those ones that it's not like, you know, tune in next year. Like, we may never see another season of it. It was hilarious. It was poignant. It was important, I think. You know, just the societal issues they get into. And it was just perfectly entertaining. I think Aziz is unbelievable. It makes me okay that, like, Louis will probably never make Louis again because this is a way better Louis. It's like a non-depressing Louis.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's... We've sort of reached a peak with these, you know, comedian spotlights. Like, hey, this is my life, but I maybe have a different name, maybe don't. Hire my family as actors and sort of make it a little, like, biopic, but it's a bio show. This is the best of them by far. And I absolutely loved it.
I just like it because it's like a... You guys are going to totally disagree with me on this, but it's like a... In my mind, it's like a 2017... Seinfeld.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a sitcom at all, but...
No, but it's just, like, a show about your interactions and, like, funny interactions and things that just happen to you in everyday
life. Yeah, like, the drama isn't so intense. It's not like life and death stuff, right? So, yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, I like it.
It just feels very real. I'll get into honorable mentions after, because we can make this a bit of a discussion.
All right, so...
I know what you're picking.
I'll go with my show. And
can I guess yours?
Yeah, everyone can guess it. I think everyone who is listening to this show can guess what
he
I'm
said it
pick.
For 8 weeks straight.
I told you every single okay. week.
There's no need to guess it then. Why don't you?
So my show of the year is season 3, Mr. Robot, which just finished up. To me, it was easily the best show that I watched this year. I thought that season 3 was one of the finest seasons of television that I have ever seen. So... Mr. Robot, I think I've kind of beat it into the ground at this point, but it was my show of the year.
That's a very good pick.
It's a great pick. I mean, it's a beautiful show.
It's back.
And it is really back.
It definitely came back very strong. It was weak season 2, much better season 3.
Okay.
So first non-consensus of the evening.
Yeah.
I'm eliminating Game of Thrones. I think this past season was one of their weakest.
This is maybe the worst season. Yeah.
In a while, since season 5.
Okay. There maybe yeah.
Was that...
I think it was 5.
The orange rolling downhill season. God, that was bad.
Guys, but to me, Game of Thrones having a bad season is like a Dangerous Man having a lesser awesome beer.
It's like the NFL's viewership is down.
Yeah.
Watch out. Who gives a shit? Everyone's still watching.
Oh, viewership is down, and they're still like 3 times bigger than every other.
The only thing affected is Papa John somehow. Yeah. I don't understand.
All right. Well, he's a racist asshole, but other than that.
There it is there. Yeah.
It's definitely the NFL that's causing him problems.
What's your pick, man?
I'm
excited.
With
I know what you're gonna pick all of a sudden.
The Good Place.
Oh, are you?
And
I love that pick.
It's a little off because I didn't start watching it until this year. So season 1 was obviously in 2016, I believe, fall, and then some of it into 2017. But season 2, so it's one of the most unique shows. It looks like your standard cookie cutter run of the mill. We got Kristen Bell and Ted Danson. Let's recycle the same plot.
Yeah.
No, it's very different.
Yeah.
It's very smart. It's very well written. If anybody knows Megan Amram, she's a pretty brilliant writer and producer of funny comedy. She's very heavily involved. Ted Danson is phenomenal in the show. He's not like... Sam, oh God, now I forget his last name. No, Sam from Cheers. He's not like that guy at all. He's very funny. There's really cool twists and turns. Don't get me wrong. There are some bad actors in the show, but I wouldn't put this show up for like any Golden Globes or anything.
But
like that.
It might win Golden Globes.
It might.
I think it's absolutely up in there.
It's very, very good. If you watch the first couple episodes and you're kind of like, what the fuck am I watching?
But you can tell it's different right away.
It's very different. And just stick with it. Just stick with all of season 1.
It's all on Netflix.
Yep.
And so, Barter, you got me going on this, actually. Because I had heard you had said, hey, I think it might be pretty good. And you sort of were like, we just shit all over network TV constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is network TV, isn't it? But
it's NBC, yeah.
It is NBC, but it's sort of like, well, not all network TV is bad. Parks and Rec was fucking genius, you know? Like, 30 Rock was wonderful, and that's sort of the vibes I get when I'm watching it. Except for it's better because it has through stories more so, right? So it's like, literally what I have so far, they've named the chapters, chapter one, chapter two, and it's a continuation of this sort of unfolding, twisty story, which is, it's also hilarious. Kristen Bell is, like, doing her best to take Julia Louis-Dreyfus's, you know, spot as perennial, like, what, Golden Globe winner, Emmy winner for TV. I mean, I think she's that good.
Yeah.
I love the show. I can't believe it. And I'm just shocked that it's that good. So I love your pick.
It's definitely a sleeper kind of out of nowhere. Because I watched the first two episodes with my wife, which is also a bonus because a lot of the shit that we like to watch doesn't necessarily translate to our significant others as, like, entertaining for an hour of just intense Mr. Robot TV, you know?
Dude, it's like 20 minutes, man. Knock out
you can
one,
fly
two,
through
or
it.
Three of them when, you know, whenever you want. So.
It's great. And it's funny. Stick with it. And it's one of the most surprisingly entertaining shows that I ran across this year. So that's what, that's my pick. So our first non-consensus.
And it's different, too.
Very different.
Yeah. So should I go through some of my honorable mentions, too?
Yeah.
So obviously we sort of said Game of Thrones can't win. It had one of its worst seasons. Rick and Morty was already mentioned. It had maybe its best season. I mean, it's just absolutely genius level. Any year of Fargo is out, I should pick it. But this was, I think, their worst season. Fargo season 3. Wasn't that great? Taboo. We like that one. But I think it's sort of ramping up. SNL, I think, is must-watch TV, and it's been really, really good lately, too. What else do I have? American Vandal. You guys, I don't think you guys got through it, but I just still think it's so fucking good.
I had to get on Netflix. I gave up after like 3 or 4 episodes.
That's too bad, man. It was awesome. Big Little Lies.
Big Little
Lies
probably
clean up at the award season, and they're going to keep that going. Big Little Lies was so good, and it wasn't something I'd normally watch. Mm-hmm. You know, 4 female protagonists, sort of like a, you know, little bit of a housewifey, gossipy vibe to it, but so strongly acted and hilarious and well-written that it was just awesome.
And coming back.
And Legion was really strong, but that will get better too.
Yeah.
So that was my sort of my sleepers.
I had I did my top 6 for the year. In 6th place, I had Legion.
Okay.
In 5th place, I had Taboo.
Okay.
In 4th place, I had Ozark.
Oh, yeah.
In 3rd place, I had Stranger Things 2. Crazy we haven't mentioned that yet.
Yeah, that was going to be one of mine. But
yeah, I get it. It
so
should be up
popular.
There. Yeah. I don't think it was necessarily better than season 1.
I thought it was better than season 1, and season 1 was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, I had Game of Thrones. At its worst, it's still one of the best.
Yeah.
And number 1, I had Mr. Robot.
Okay. That's awesome.
All solid picks.
There's great TV this year.
Other than American Vandal, there were no bad picks in the entire list.
I can't believe there wasn't more love from you guys with Ozark.
I think it was fine. I'm curious to see what they do now that it's all established. I think season 1's can be tough. Just you got to get it rolling, and it's hard just to like establish everything and have an incredible season of TV. It's really like you got to hook people and then deliver with consecutive seasons. But really, really great show for sure.
So, I really want to.
I think we need to come up with a pick.
The Bateman might win. Might be up for some Golden. I think he is nominated for a Golden Globe for it. So I mean, like at least
that's
people recognizing
that
he's a great actor in it.
Yeah, he did really well.
All right, so we're gonna have to do a consensus.
I think.
Well, I don't think season or Master of None is gonna win. I don't think you guys are gonna get.
No, it
you
doesn't
to
have to be
that.
Our first pick, even though. Like, what could we all agree on as the best show? Like one that we all thought was really good.
I don't think it's gonna be a Good Place then either.
No. I think it has to be Mr. Robot. But
yeah.
If I had to pick one of your two, I would pick Mr. Robot.
Okay. And I guess I would as well.
I mean, it could be something else, though. I mean, we could do one that was none of our first picks.
But it was so good. And the finale was so, so, so special and phenomenal. I'm fine with that, man. I say we hand the belt over for 2017.
Mr. Robot reclaims the belt.
Yeah. All right. I'm good with that. I'm happy.
What's a show you guys are most looking forward to in 2018? I know we're going to do our 2018 preview next week.
We won't see Game of Thrones.
We will not.
My God, fuck.
Oh, no. I'll give you mine. Westworld. season two. Probably that's one of the ones I'm most looking forward to.
Dude, I think that's it, man. Well, you're sort of teasing our tease, right? Because we're going to do a preview episode next week. Man, 2018 right, guys, better deliver.
This moves into a brand new category called Best New TV Show. What of those TV shows in its first season was your favorite? What was the best debut season of the year?
Okay. Should we go through some of them we listed as our options? Because I haven't prepared one, so I'm going to just pick one here.
Yeah, we did say Legion. I said Ozark. We had Taboo. Mm-hmm.
Big Little Lies.
Yep, Big Little Lies, brand new. A lot of those like HBO ones. My pick, I think it's really difficult because Legion, Ozark, and Taboo were all so close for me.
This is your category, man. Let's go.
Just since I've been on the show, I think I've changed my mind to what it is. My pick is going to be a show that I feel like everybody else hated, Taboo.
Mm. Yeah, I think Taboo was pretty boring.
FX, Taboo, Tom Hardy, putting on a masterful performance. I know why people didn't like it, but I know that the people who stuck with it to the end felt like it was worth it.
Here's Tom Hardy's performance. Get a lot of soot on yourself, especially in the facial regions. Crazy hair and
really
no pants.
You got to really get into the fireplace,
and then
make
sure you're drunk. Yeah, be as close to the fireplace as you can.
Constantly,
with no pants. Long shirt, though. Cover the ass. But
Don't ever pay it off on the show why he's really into like ashing himself up.
No, there's no reason for that at all.
Other than maybe when he went to South Africa, he got some like voodoo magic or something of that nature. That's really
all
we got. All
that part was pretty much pointless. But they did pull off Ocean's 11 with the India Trading Company back in whatever the hell it was, the 18 something, 17, I don't even know. Great show, but it's definitely not the best new show of the year. I'm sorry.
Okay, what are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with Legion. I think it was very different. It was very good. Noah Hawley is a goddamn genius, and he will make this show amazing. I can't wait for season two. I think it's really going to hit its stride. They've introduced everybody. They can just roll. And you got to admit, like, it's closed out really strong. I think it's the most exciting, best new show.
Is season two coming?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, indefinitely? Like, April?
Yeah, 2018. I mean, it's been announced. I don't know, like, okay, when it's going to happen. But I don't think April. I haven't seen anything production-wise from it.
That's what I was saying. I know he said that he wasn't really going to have time to write that, but he was going to try in and amongst a bunch of other projects. So hopefully they are doing that.
He does have a couple of other projects, but he's not doing Fargo right now. It's not like on his radar at all. So
you're right. Maybe that's what I was conflating, was that he was saying he didn't have time for another season of Fargo right now.
And that's fine. You know, take some time. Do that in 2-3 years. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Man, those are good picks. But for the same reasons that you dislike Taboo, that's some of the reason I didn't really like Legion, was there was a lot of like slow, boring extrapolation.
Mm-hmm.
Entertaining, unique, definitely like very different than a lot of other TV shows, a lot more visually visceral.
Mm-hmm.
We did get a lot of repeat CGI. The kitchen explosion came back like annoying every other episode. I really... Of the shows that you listed for the season ones, I really liked Big Little Lies over all of them. Mostly because it felt very real. And it felt like this is something that a lot of people could go through. Maybe not necessarily in terms of like the amount of money that everyone has on that show. But like real issues and real problems brought things to light that were probably things you really don't want to deal with. But I thought they did a pretty good job.
The acting itself was just unbelievable.
Yeah, I think it really set itself apart as a unique story amongst a lot of other very strong season ones for a lot of TV shows. But I will say this, I don't really understand where they're going to go with season two and how that's going
to
play out.
It can't be another crazy coincidence.
No.
Right? Because that was a little over the top to
begin
with.
Agreed.
And you can sort of say, like, you know, there's this bias in writing where it's like, oh, that's unrealistic how this person could have lived. Well, they wouldn't have written the story about the person if they died unceremoniously randomly.
Exactly.
So there's this sort of bias, and it's like, no, this is an amazing story worth making a show about. Of course there's insane things that happen. But they can't do that again, right? I mean, like, Shailene Woodley's rapist happened to be Nicole Kidman's husband. Just totally, oh, look at that. That's weird. I mean, that was a little much, wasn't it? So we'll see. They'll make another season. If the writing's good, we'll be fine.
So let's come to a consensus. I am fine switching over to Legion. Are you more excited about Legion? Or are you more excited about Big Little Lies?
Or Ozark. I mean, we're going to let that one go.
Yeah.
I guess I'm probably more excited about Legion.
Yeah,
that was my pick. So
I would agree.
Let's go Legion on it.
Yeah, I'm fine with Legion.
Best new show, Legion.
Yeah. Best new show, FX. Legion.
Killing it.
And it just, my thing that I liked about Legion was it just seemed so different than everything else on television. It was fun. It was refreshing. I totally fell in love with the girl.
Oh, I'm in love.
Yeah, what's her name?
I can't remember. It's been too long since. Clearly not that in love, but.
She's from Bloomington.
Yeah, she's from Minnesota. I'm sorry. She's getting no shout out here.
Fargo.
Yeah.
She's Fargo wonderful. Season 2. She's great, but I can't remember her name.
All right, guys.
Barter might look it up, yeah.
So now it's time to move to another new award this year. 2017 Nordy's Podcast Character of the Year.
Rachel Keller.
Rachel Keller.
Yeah, Rachel Keller.
Love hi.
That's our Character of the Year, too.
I hope she loves
it. Just kidding.
Character of the Year. I will start since I kind of put you guys on the spot with this one. My 2017, and I know that this character technically probably started in 2016, but I'm not even sure. Maybe it started in 2017. My Character of the Year goes to Spicy.
Sean Spicer?
SNL's Spicy.
Oh, Spicy.
Melissa McCarthy as Sean Spicer will be my Character of the Year. It was so funny to the point that it probably helped contribute to the downfall of Spicer as the press secretary of the Trump administration.
He was a little too easy to make fun of, for sure.
He was, and then he even made fun of himself at some kind of award show where he came out with
after the fact
with the movable, like the the podium
the
on rails.
Podium.
When he was trying to make himself likable again, and then everyone's like, oh, wait, you're just a complete asshole. Yeah. We don't want to hear from you anymore.
Yeah, so to me, that was a hilarious character. Character of the Year always could be from SNL, to be honest with you.
Right.
They're just able to catch a moment in time and, you know, make it last forever and, like, create characters that are just timeless and hilarious. So I'm going to go with... And oh, I'm sorry. Also, there can't have been too many people on Earth who are more offended to be played by a woman than Sean Spicer.
Yeah. That's why it was so perfect. It was, like, an overweight woman. Yeah. It just pretty much nailed it.
Just nailed everything that he did. Yeah. It was so funny. I mean, he couldn't even, like, do press conferences after that because everything he said was going to start SNL the next week.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was just too funny. You know that President Trump was watching every one of those, just fuming. And I think
he probably wasn't, because the ratings are failing. All of NBC's ratings are failing. MSNBC, everything's failing. They're all failing ratings.
It's all failing.
Sad. It's pretty sad.
It's really sad, but I feel like he was definitely watching it, like, live.
Oh, he was seething.
Yeah. Just like, oh, God, what have I got myself into?
Slurping down a Diet Coke and his Filet-O-Fish sandwiches and just screaming at the television.
Yeah.
All right, anyone want to go next?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to go 1A and 1B.
And then you'll pick between them?
Yeah. So I'm going with Irving from Mr. Robot, Bobby Cannavale's character.
Oh, that's who I was going to pick.
No!
That's okay.
Yeah,
That's fine. I'm good with that.
Dude, we can pick a
B.
We're of like one mind right now.
That was awesome.
He was
I was close with Leon, too.
That's another good
going
one.
Going with Leon.
Too.
So, but I was for sure Bobby Cannavale.
He
unbelievable.
Killed it. He absolutely killed it. He was menacing and terrifying while being so calm.
Yeah.
And so calculated.
And just so fun and engrossing to watch.
And he was funny too.
Yeah.
His character was like over the top and funny while also being calculating, smart, and terrifying.
Yep.
All at the same time.
Yeah, he's great. I think Bobby Cannavale just is one of the best supporting character actors out there. And when he tries to do his own show, it's vinyl and it's horrible and it gets canceled because he's just too intense to be on screen the entire time. Everything he does has like an incredible intensity. Best part of, like, you guys ever watched Boardwalk on HBO?
Mm-mm.
No.
It was super good. I mean, and he was a terrifying gangster that would just, like, he had like this really fragile ego. So he would just kill people randomly that he would take offense to something and just start going off, and one of your favorite characters would die. It's like, God damn it. He's great. That's my pick, man, for sure.
And then my 1B was, and this is from a show we didn't really talk about it. It was okay. It wasn't that great, but The Deuce, and it was James Franco's character, Vincent Martino.
Okay.
I think. And Frankie. Which, he played two.
But Vincent was the druggy one, like the random.
Vincent was a druggy one. Frankie was the good one, like had a good head on his shoulders, was always hustling. I said it on the show before. I don't know if James Franco is a good actor or a bad actor, because movie to movie, you can't tell. Right. Or show to show, you can't tell. Sometimes he gives a really good performance, and other times you're like, what the hell are you doing?
Is he even trying?
Yeah, this is totally a paycheck movie. This is
just James Franco being James Franco.
Yeah, but in that show, he was very good, very believable, very fun to watch, charismatic on screen, entertaining, captivating, all of those adjectives and cliches you can use to talk about an actor in a show. And The Deuce was a pretty good show overall. It definitely wasn't in my top 5, top 10 of the year. I thought it was good, but James Franco was pretty good. But I definitely think I would pick Bobby Cannavale.
His character's name is Irving.
Irving.
Irving is our winner.
Okay.
Character of the year, Irving, Mr. Robot, incredible character. And you learned a lot about him as you went on.
Mm-hmm. More than I thought we were going to.
Yes, you learned a lot about him as you went through the show, and that was exciting as well.
Which is very un-Esmail.
Right.
To give that much about him.
But, you know, he was like the shadow player the entire time. I mean, when they cut away in season one from a room, he walked in. You know, he was there throughout. We just didn't know it. And that was some cool reveals.
All right, guys. It's time to choose Nordy's Podcast 2017, Who Won the Year. I feel like in 2018, when we're like a massive podcast, and everyone on earth listens to us, we're actually going to send these awards to people.
Yeah.
But for now, we're just going to talk about it and maybe tweet at them.
Okay. I like that. Yeah, let's do some tweeting.
Yeah.
Eric. This is a big deal.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
This is a big deal.
I mean, they could win a Grammy. They could win an Oscar. They could even win like a Kid's Choice Award. Or they could win a Nordeastie.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. Nordeastie. We can work on that. It's fine.
All right, so who won the year?
Are you guys looking at me? I want to go last or middle.
Man, I just don't know. I didn't realize we were going to do it this big.
Mm-hmm. Anybody.
With this many stakes.
Yeah.
Eric, do you know yours? If you know yours, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, you go and I'll follow up.
So mine is a little surprising. It's not a person. It's a group of people.
Okay.
It's kind fine. Of a,
there's no rules here.
It's a large, shadowy group of people. We don't know all of their names. We just know who they are. And I think that we always try to look for the good in every single year. We try to look for the good every single time. But sometimes in series, the bad guys win. And sometimes before the great things can happen and before heroes can rise, the bad guys have to win.
Hold on. Let me cue some like trumpet music here while you get through this.
Yeah.
So we can really get the full effect.
It sounds like a Dark Knight.
Oh, you said trumpet. Yeah. So my winners this year are going to be the Empire. The Empire won this year.
Okay.
As they had took some massive victories.
The First Order, you mean?
Sure. The same thing. The First Order is going to be my my victors. So the First Order, the Empire, whatever evil entity you want to talk about, definitely won. Taking some of their largest ever victories. You know, I think people living in you know, under the First Order, maybe they don't look the same as some of the people that are, you know, ruling. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they are going to have a little bit of a tougher time. I'm sure that maybe sometimes people's taxes under the First Order are going to go up. Maybe they won't have the same health care. You know, I just think with a movie coming in 2 years, we might see some of the heroes come back and reclaim their rightful places. But for now, I think it's probably pretty difficult to live under the First Order. And they definitely took the big W this year. So the First Order or the Empire or whatever you want to call them is my victors of 2017.
I like what you did there. I love your like... Let's veil some politics wherever we can. All right, that was good. All right, I'm going to go with mine. And somehow it sort of relates to that because I'm going to go with Bob Iger, CEO of Disney, who has taken Disney from
it's
doing
Iger.
Cartoons.
It's Iger, Iger.
Thank
yeah.
you. Yeah, well, it's rich as shit is what it is.
spelled with a dollar sign.
Exactly. So this dude has taken a company that everyone just assumes is, you know, they make cartoons about lovable mice. You know, they're it's Disney. Everybody loves them. They have theme parks. They have kids movies and turn them into more or less a media monopoly. They merge with Fox. They own goddamn everything. They own Star Wars and Marvel.
Who's that hairy kid that they
now own, like, yeah. you know, the controlling interest of Hulu. Like, they are a lovable company that is absolutely monopolizing our media, and it's a kind of a problem, but great moves from the CEO, Bob. So that's who I think won the year. I mean, he is an, it's like, they're like pretty much like Comcast, but they have no negative image whatsoever.
I mean, other than like the 10,000 ESPN employees that were laid off in December. But
nobody even makes that connection, though. Isn't that funny? You know, they own ABC, ESPN. Yeah. What else? I'm sure 100 other channels. But yeah, that guy's winning.
Well, Jesus, I don't have anything of that scale.
Well, you do you, man. Barter, you pick
Dude,
whomever
I picked,
you
I
want.
Dude, I picked Steve from Stranger Things last year.
Yeah.
All right. This year it's... The First Order.
The New World Order?
Yes.
The Swamp won. I'm going to say...
The Swamp did win.
I'm going to say, on a much smaller scale, a little more lighthearted, I'm going to say Rian Johnson, director okay. of Star Wars, and not just for The Last Jedi and all of its brilliance. Don't at me, anybody, because yeah. I don't want to hear it.
Because it was very, very good.
But then also getting a new trilogy, standalone trilogy... kind of in the same universe, but whole new characters and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on the footage that Disney had seen. They obviously had this in the works long before it was announced. So the movie probably wasn't even done. The Last Jedi probably wasn't even complete. But mm-hmm. they saw his passion, his graciousness, how well he treats all of the cast. Everyone loves him. How much he is excited to come to work every day. He always talks about how he dreamed as a kid to just even be a small part of Star Wars. And then there he was directing, you know, episode 8, which is a really cool deal. And then they hand him 3 more and mm-hmm. say, go write and direct all of these. No pressure. Like you were saying, this is only like a small little company, Disney, that we, you know, that they got going there to make movies. So I think he won the year. If we're sticking with movies and TV, that's who I'm picking.
Well, that's what I did. It's like with TV and movies.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that somehow we had it all related to Star Wars in the end. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. I don't know if we'll have to go through and try to pick our ultimate on this one.
No, we don't need to pick an ultimate. My thing is just like 2017 was actually The Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they took a lot of L's.
Yeah, a lot
of
L's.
The good people took some L's.
A lot of good people, took some really brutal losses.
But you're getting like $500 more this year on your tax return, so you kind of won.
Yeah, right. For now,
but you can't write off your school supplies that you purchase anymore, so yes. You kind of lost as well. Yeah. Unfortunately, if you owned a jet, you could write that off, but you don't. So
don't
your school supplies don't count for shit.
No, if I bought a jet for school,
you might be able to write it off.
I might be able to write that off.
It's for field trips. Yeah. It serves a completely functional purpose. Dude. You're going to get your pilot's license. That might be tax deductible too. And then you could fly the kids for free on a free plane that you tax deducted. But don't bring any Ritz crackers because you can't write those off because that's a school supply.
No. I think it would be like this, to be honest with you. I think it would be if it was a private school, it could be written off.
Yeah, right.
All right, we'll stop there. We're probably alienating.
We went a little too far.
We're probably alienating none of our listeners. Yeah.
Both of them are still listening.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Fine.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for listening to the Nordies podcast here in 2017. Hopefully you have checked out many of the things we talked about today. I know our episode was a little different than it normally is. We'll be back next week with our breakdown, our look forward into our preview of 2018. So get excited about that. Let us know what you thought about 2017. Let us know if there are picks that you disagree with or things that you would have picked or people you wish we would have talked about or things that we just totally missed. Otherwise, check out our year in review for 2017 sports with a focus on Minnesota later this week when we break down Minnesota sports in 2017 and beyond. Thanks for listening to the Northeast Podcast. Happy New Year. We'll see you guys in 2018.